morning. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are blessed once again that you allowed us, you lengthened out our lives and allowed us to be here once again. We thank you for the food you gave us, the clothing that you gave us, and we thank you for the roof that we slept under overnight, oh Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us to get up this morning and be able to come out to the household of faith. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your Son who hung, bled, and died, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. We thank you this morning, Father, for each and every one that's here this morning, and we pray that some may still be on their way, that they may arrive safely. We pray for those who might be traveling today that they have safe passage as well. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and families are grieving this morning, Father. We just pray that you visit them and give them comfort and strength, Lord. Comfort to know that you are God and strength to follow you, Father. Father, we pray for the leaders and of this congregation along with their family members. We just pray that if it be your will, you would give them strength to lead on. We pray for each and every brother that's taken part in the services thus far, that they may, in their families, that they may continue to move on as well. Father, we pray for those who might be sick and shut in. We just pray that if it be your will, that you might give them strength enough to return at the next appointed time. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, and we pray and thank you, Father, for each and every member of this congregation. We pray for the world at large, but we pray especially for those who are believers on you, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. We pray for our government that they may not make any rules that would be contrary to your word, O Lord. We thank you for everything, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verses number 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this life, in this body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." So the judgment seat of Christ. There's a lot of talk about the judgment. We live our lives here on earth. If we are believers, we await the return of Christ, our Savior, knowing that we will receive either our dues, either good or bad, for what we have done in this life. Christ has already went to the cross, for our iniquities were laid upon him. He was afflicted and brought as a sheep to the cross, according to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah brought this prophet to us long before the cross became the cross of reality. He, Christ, was made to be sin for us. This judgment seat will be where we will receive our dues for the work we have done or not done. Let us prepare ourselves, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When I think about the judgment seat of Christ, I ask myself just a couple of questions. Am I going to be there? The answer to that is yes. And what am I going to receive? The answer shall be given in this lesson. But we all shall meet at the judgment seat. We all shall be at the judgment seat of Christ. It shall be a place of review. We shall be reviewed by Jesus himself. Notice the text that I just read for your hearing. The text is worded to let us know that who shall appear. And the text says that all, and I underscore the word all, shall appear. All appear. No late excuses will be accepted. Everyone may receive the things done in his body. His also means her as well, so there's no out for anyone here. Whatever we did, whether good or bad. This should cause us to be able to stop and consider what is coming our way. It's not a maybe. It's not a what if. It's a certainty that's headed our way. In Matthew chapter 12 and the verses 36, the Bible lets us know that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, we must keep in mind what the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, I believe it is. It reminds us all that be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. This should give a person the mind to know that God cannot be fooled. For God knows our hearts, and we shall be held accountable in that great day. This is our seed time, and the harvest is soon coming. We shall be reviewed and come face to face with our record. We will have to give an account of what we did in this lifetime that we are living in, what we did with our time, what we did with our money. God gives us the money that God gives us, how and what we could have lived and done better to serve the Lord. Well, I may as well let you know that excuses will not be accepted any longer. Excuses will not be accepted as they are now. No more second or third chances will there be given at the judgment seat of Christ. So we will be reviewed. It shall be a place of remorse. Everything about your lives will be brought up. Some things may be evil, some things may be bad, and other things may be good, but either way they shall come out, and many will have tears of remorse because of how they lived their lives on earth. No one can say they were not warned that this day would be coming. According to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Once appointed to man to die. Notice the text read, "And as it is appointed," that means all who lived have received this appointment. Not some of us, not a few of us, not even a select group of us. But all of us, we must go before the judgment seat of Christ. That verse, scripture in Hebrews 27 lets us know two things. One, that we must die. It tells us we must die once. It tells us that the cord of our lives, our earthly lives, shall be cut off. And it lets us know that we must get it right on this time, for we have no second time to get by. You know something, church? We don't have but one soul, and we need to try to save that one. It tells us that this offer is a matter of comfort for the believers, but to non-believers is a matter of terror, perhaps, if they die in their sins. The second thing it tells us, that after death comes the judgment. There's no getting around that fact of the judgment. There's a good and a godly reason we should want to be numbered with those who serve God. In Romans 21 and verse number 4, the Bible says in the A clause of that verse, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Will that, what a thought or what a concept that will be when God himself will wipe the tears from our eyes. God himself will wipe all tears from our eyes. To those who need something to look forward to, why not become like the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, where Paul in his departure speech told us of a crown of righteousness, which is the righteous judge the Lord shall give us, give at that day, but not only for him. He specified that it was not only for him, but to all that love his appearing. Church, if you love him, you should obey him. And this can be a crown, and there can be a crown in your future as well. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin, according to 1 John 1 and verse number 7. But somebody asked the question just a few weeks ago, a couple of Sundays ago, where will the judgment seat be held? Well, I'll get to that in a minute, but I just want you to know that the judgment seat is going to be for all, and no matter if you're ready, if you're dressed, do you have the proper clothes, none of that is necessary, because we all got to face the judgment seat of Christ. The way a Christian should want to live, the way we should want to live until the judgment day, until the judgment day come, is how we ought to view the judgment seat of Christ. It will be a place of rewards. God's judgment shall include the giving of our rewards for the giving out of rewards for the saved and their service to Him. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10, it clarifies that the judgment of our brothers is wrong, and not what we should be doing. From the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." In other words, you have no right to judge me, and I have no right to judge you. Only God will do the judging. Now, if I speak my opinion about you and you speak your opinion about me, that's one thing. But you have no right to judge me, and neither do I have any right to judge you. God will have the final agreement or the final judgment on all of us. We can't judge one another. God will give each of us our just reward. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Behold, great in heaven is your reward." Notice the location, if you will. The location is in heaven. Now back to that part where the question was raised, where is the judgment? Now I can't give you a physical location of where the judgment seat of Christ will be, but I can tell you that Christ is the one we must appear before. And where does Christ live? He lives in heaven. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "God shall judge the righteous and the wicked." So that tells me that all shall see the Lord. All shall see Him. So when you go back to the text, the Bible says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, some of us are going to be in for a pleasant reward, and some of us are not going to be in for such a pleasant reward. But God is the fair judge. God is a good God. And God gives us opportunities after opportunities to get it right with Him while we're here. And I don't know about you, but as you get older, things start to happen to us. I tell you this all the time. Things start to happen to us as we get older. You get up with a pain in the morning that you never realized you would ever have. And you begin to wonder in your mind, where did that come from? And then it just seems as though every time you go to the doctor gives you a pill. When you ask the doctor, you say, "Doctor, you just gave me a pill to counteract that. Well, I'm going to give you another one to set up so this will relieve this what's bothering you now." So you relieve this what's bothering you now, and then you still have the old pain from the earlier one. But God knows best. God knows our bodies. That's why He's going to give out the rewards at the day of judgment. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So that tells me that all shall see the Lord. All of us shall see Him. And we're going to be rewarded. We're going to get our just dues from the Lord Himself. So I ask the question, somebody may raise the question, and I ask the question, when is the right time to get right with God? Well, I'll give you the answer. Now is the right time. Now is the best time to get our lives on the path that leads to heaven. And because we don't know the location doesn't mean that it's not real. Because we don't know where God is planning to judge us from, we know where he's going to sit. He's going to sit at the judgment seat. But we don't know where the judgment seat is. But that's not a matter for us to be concerned about. What we ought to be concerned about is how we are living our lives while we are standing, while we are walking this earth. Now, I tell you this morning, I can't emphasize to us enough how great it is to serve a wonderful and a meaningful and a just God. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I tell you that when I stand up here and open up almost every time I stand up here, I say that to you. But do you realize just how good God really is? When you got up this morning, who did you have to thank for getting up? Was it yourself? I don't think so. Or was it God who raised you up from the dead of your sleep? God was the one that woke you up this morning. God provided the roof over your head, and then you had a change of clothes that you were able to come out here. And I know that sometimes, ladies, I'm going to direct this one to you. Ladies, how many times have you put on that certain dress that used to be the it dress for you? And then you ask your other half, your husband or whomever it may be around you, does this dress make me look fat? And then the man standing there and saying to himself, well, if I answer this wrong, she's going to be mad at me. If I answer it truthfully, she's going to be mad at me. The dress is not making you look fat. What's making you look fat is the fact that you probably are fat. All I'm saying to you is God has blessed you to be able to get fat, and fat is not always bad. Fat sometimes is good. But men, be careful how you answer that question. If you want to have peace in your household, you want to answer that question with a grain of salt. And you say something like, well, honey, that dress used to look real nice on you, but it still looks good on you. And then you just cut it off. You just let it go. Because any further than that will get you in trouble. Because it's like you when you ask your wife, how does this suit look on me? Well, it used to look good on you. And I'm not saying it doesn't look good on you now. I'm simply saying it used to look better on you. Ladies, leave it there. Leave it there. But God is going to cause us all to stand before him in the end, and we're going to have to answer every idle word and every idle deed that we did in this life. Look back at the text once again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. What does that tell you? What does that tell us? That should tell us one of a couple of things. That we're going to be judged on what we've done, not what you're going to do after the judgment, because it's too late then. It should tell us right now, this text should tell us to try to live our lives right. And are all of us going to always be right? The answer to that question is no. Answer to the question is, can we live our lives better? Well, most of us probably have room for improvement, and I include me in that. I'm not just talking to you, but sometimes when I'm preaching to me too. I need to hear it myself. When I sit down and put these messages together, and now that the memory is not as long as it once was, I keep them on a note here so that I can remember where I'm at and where I'm going. And when I put these together, well, I put it together sometimes with me in mind as well. And so I say to you, as I say to myself, that the time is coming when we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Because we don't know the location, as I told you, doesn't mean it will not take place. And when the Lord comes back, guess what he's coming for? He's coming for his church. So I ask the question, Will you be in there when he comes? Or will you be sadly standing out looking in? So the judgment seat of Christ is surely coming. The judgment seat of Christ is we're going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to answer for everything we've done. And I'll tell you something right now. The Lord doesn't forget. The Lord doesn't forget. He forgives. He'll forgive us for what we've done. But the Lord will take it and he'll take it away. But his memory is long service. Then there are those of us who have memories that we don't want to suppress either. We remember some things about someone who did something to us 30 years ago, and we're still talking about it today. Well, don't you think there's a time, the time should come when we should let it go? We want to be forgiven, but some of us don't want to forgive. Some of us don't let things go. We let them fester, and then they only get worse. They pollute the entire body and cause us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. When I think about our time in this life, you know, it's not really that long. The numbers may stretch out and tell us that it's a long time, but life is measured differently by the Lord than it is for us. If we live to be age 70, I've said this before and I'll say it again, that means you've lived 25,500 years. 25,000 plus days, I mean, to make up for the 70 years of your life. That's not a long time in the sight of God, because one day is like 1,000 years in the sight of the Lord. One day is like 1,000 years in the sight of the Lord. And if you spend a great portion of your 25,000 years, you spend a good portion of your 25,500 days remembering something that someone did to you, then where's your time for serving the Lord? Now, I know we remember things from far back. We remember when we were going to grade school. Some of us might even remember when we were in kindergarten. Some might even I don't even know if they call it kindergarten anymore. They may not anymore these days. But some of us remember things that when we were 3 years old. And some of us even hold grudges from things back that long. But I'll tell you something. You've got to let them go. You've got to let them go. Because one day we're going to stand before the righteous judge. And the righteous judge is going to open up the book and he's going to ask you about your life. He's going to ask you, what did you do on, remember that Sunday you didn't go to church? Why didn't you go? I opened the church doors for you. Why weren't you there? And remember that time when you had a grudge against your brother because he did something to you and you never let it go? How come? Remember when you used some evil words against one of your brothers or one of your sisters? Why? You're going to have to answer for all of that, and I am going to too. And I'll tell you the same old familiar story I often tell you. You've heard me say it many times. Don't look for me to help you at that time, because I'm going to be working all by myself trying to get myself right in with the Lord, right with the Lord. I'm going to be trying to come up with the right answers I need to come up with. So don't look for me for help, because I won't be able to help you. I'm trying to help you now, but I won't be able to help you then. So if you want my help, you get it now, because I can't help you then. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to try to help you then. If I see you over there, I just wave at you, but I'm going to keep going, because my turn will be coming up to answer for my own deeds that I've done in my body, whether they were good or whether they were bad. And you know, I mean, when I look back at, let me see, oh yeah, I got a few minutes. When I look back at last week, Brother Webster did a fantastic job on his subject last week. But then, wouldn't you know it, something came up this week relating to that same message that he preached down there in Kentucky. But you know something? God is going to fix it all one day. God is going to have the final say-so. And we're going to stand before him. And we're going to have to answer to him. But most of all, it's going to be his fixing, the fixing of his choosing. But I trust God. I trust in the Lord and I trust him. See, I have to trust him because, see, let me see how I can put this. I don't know how many more minutes I have to stand and continue to breathe in the air and let out the breathe in the oxygen and let out the air. I don't know how many more days I've got. I don't know how many more years I've got. But I trust that the Lord knows where I stand, and he knows when he's going to call me home, and I know that one day I'm going to be called home. And if you are here when I'm called home, and if I'm stretched out here in a casket, don't stand up over me and tell me how good I was, because I won't be able to hear it. I got to show it right now. And then when it comes to my service to the Lord and your service to the Lord, we've got to get it right. We've got to do it right. We've got to live it right. The Bible tells us to let your light so shine that others may see. In other words, we live in a dark world, and we need to make sure our light is turned on and burning strong, that the world may see us, that we may present Christ to a darkened world. And you know, when you leave home, do your neighbors say, "There goes brother or sister so-and-so, he or she is a Christian," or do they say, "There go that old you know what? He pretends to be what he's not. Or she pretends to be something that she's not." Where will you stand in the judgment? How will you stand before the judgment seat? Will your life be, when your life is put on review, will it be good or will it be bad before the Lord? It's going to come out either way. And the best thing to do is to live it right, that it comes out right. You can't live it wrong and expect it to come out right. So the question becomes, do I need to change my life now? Do I need to put in better service in my life than I'm doing right now? Can I get it? Can I do it better? Can I live my life better? Can I serve the Lord better? Can I be a better example to others? Do I give at church right? And that's a sore spot for most Christians. Because the first thing they say, all they do is talk about money all the time. Well, if you don't talk about it, some folk won't do it. So you got to talk about it. And when I look at the board, I look at it and I see the piddly amount that's there. That's a shame. You're going to have to answer for that. I was going to put in 5, but now I'm only going to put in 2 because I need the 3 for something else. God is going to ask you about that. When you stand before him, you're going to have to answer for everything that you did in this body. And guess what? They can come up with a lot of things. They can give you a new heart, new kidney, new liver, but they can't give you a new body. And the heart that they give you is the blood pump. God is not talking about that. God is talking about the heart of the mind, the mind. The mindset that we live, that we serve him with. God doesn't want this. He knows about this. He knows how many times it's going to pump for you, how many more times it's going to pump for you. He knows when he's going to stop it from pumping the blood. He's going to stop the blood from flowing through your body. He knows when. But are you living that when your life comes up before him, when you come up on the judgment seat, to the judgment seat, will he say, well done, and give you a good reward, or will you get a bad reward? And he'll say, depart from me, I know you not, your works were that of iniquity. You know, I don't know how much better or simpler I can put it, but the Bible has already made it simple enough. It says that all of us are going to stand there. That means every man, woman, every child, every one of us are going to stand there. And first of all, we have to go back to Hebrews again, where it says all of us appointed to die. Once appointed to man to die. That man means woman too. So if you're not living your life right today, you need to put in check and put a check mark there and ask yourself, what can I do better, Lord? Lord, teach me to do better. Show me how to do better. Direct me to where I can find out in your word what I am to do. And continue in prayer until you make that change that's necessary. I have to change. So do you. We all need to change. We all need to have substantiability in our lives. We all need to have stability, I should say, in our lives. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, then being baptized. If you are a member but you've walked astray, we ask you to go to the Lord in prayer with your request and ask the church to pray with you to help you obtain whatever it is that you're seeking, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.